Today's Shir Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Mem Hey. We will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Four lines from the bottom. Gufa Amar Rabin, Bashmu, Mishmei, Dishmu. Hamaych Sod L'Chaver Shle B'Chrayis. If somebody sold a property to someone else without recourse, and now there's somebody that comes and claims this property belongs to him, Emeir Aleh, the person who sold it cannot be, the person who sold it cannot be considered an aid to say that this property belongs to the person who bought it. Because by doing so, what he accomplishes is that if he owes anybody money, so now the person to whom he owes money, if that person can't collect from the seller, he'll be able to go after the buyer. But that will only be the case if the property indeed belongs to the buyer. So in order to solve, to avoid any problem, what he does is, he wants to say testimony that it belongs to the buyer. And that, if he owes money to anyone, that's where the person to whom he owes money to will be able to go. So the Gemara drills down and tries to understand hechidami, exactly what is the case. E this le'ara chrita, if this seller has other property that the person to whom he owes money to could go after that, so then the halacha ought to be alei the dehadar. He's not going to the buyer because he has the option to go to the person who owes him the money. And not only does he have the option of going after the person whom he owes, that only will he come after him. The halacha requires that he first go to the person who, the halacha requires that he first goes after that person. So why can't he say that it belongs to the buyer? Vi delesle arachrita, and if he doesn't have any other property, so if the person whom he owes money to will now go to the person who bought the property from him, what's the difference? My nafkalimine, he won't be able to come after him because he doesn't have any more property. The Paiskim discuss what's going to be the halacha if this seller who we're debating is allowed to say Eidus or is not allowed to say Eidus, doesn't have property, but does have metatlin. Because under normal circumstances, you can only go after you go after everything that he owns, and since you could go after everything that he owns, so then if he has metatlin. On the other hand, as we often see throughout Shas, people only relate to property as a place where to collect obligation from. They don't think about other assets as the place to collect obligations from. So even if he has metatlin, it shouldn't make a nafkamina. So Tosfos asked the obvious question. Why don't we say the nafkamina is that if he's going to get wealthy, so then if the property was, there'll be a nafkamina if he has other property or not, because they'll be able to collect from that other property. So Tosfos says a very important point. Tosfos says that when the halacha discusses these kind of situations, they look at the person's current situation. And if currently he has the ability to pay, so then if he currently has the ability to pay, so then why shouldn't he be able to say Eidus? And if he currently doesn't have the ability to pay, and the fact that he may have it, I was saying, if he doesn't have the ability to pay, nobody's coming after him anyway. Well, yes, they may come after him when he will have property. So Taisha says, the halacha only looks at the here and now. It doesn't think about these eventualities. And Truma Sedeshin, based on this, Taisha says that if Shimon wanted the Levi should say testimony on his behalf. And by saying testimony on his behalf, he's going to pay him. Mm. And now,
he comes to say testimony against somebody, and he says that this person is on a gay basis because he's getting paid for it. So says the Truma Sadashin, the halacha, this halacha is dependent on what the dayanim feel. And from the dayanim, if he doesn't have to gain by saying the testimony, the fact that maybe down the road, because the person for whom he says testimony will now have the financial wherewithal to pay him, which he might not have had otherwise, the halacha doesn't take that into consideration. The Shas Chuvas Marsham, Chel Gimel Simcha Beis, discusses a situation where somebody came, Rav came to the city, and he said a drasha, and the people in the city were very impressed with this Rav. Mm-hmm. So after they were so impressed with him, this Rav asked that they should appoint his son-in-law to be the new Rav of the town. And then came the son-in-law of the previous Rav, and he asked to be appointed to be Rav of the Rav of the city, and he claimed that he deserves it because he deserves it as Yerusha, since he is the son-in-law of the previous Rav. And they decided that they have this Din Torah, and they decided they're going to go to a Din Torah, and they want to take the father-in-law of the person, this father-in-law who said the drasha, to be one of the dayanim. The son-in-law of the previous dayan, a previous Rav, says he can't be a dayan in this Din Torah because he wants his son-in-law to get the job. Says the Masham that may not be enough of a reason that he should be disqualified. It's not that he's going to get the job. It's going to be his son-in-law who's going to get the job, and therefore that may not be considered. We see from our Gemara that you don't get disqualified for something that may happen so quickly. Says the Gemara, Lailam Desle Arachuita, he has no other property. But what is the concern? The concern is that he wants that the person to whom he sold the property should keep the property, so that the person whom he owes money to should be able to have where to collect. Because if that person whom he owes money to will not have where to collect, Lenichle, he's not satisfied, the Lehever Lever Rosh of Allah Yishalim, that he should be branded a person who doesn't pay his obligations. And because he doesn't want to be labeled an individual who doesn't pay his obligations, he's prepared to say that's why we have to let him say this testimony. So, of course, many Mefarshim ask the question. So he doesn't want to be branded a Loiver Rosh Lo Yishalim. Somebody who doesn't pay money that he owes is called a Loiver Rosh. So ask the Rishonim, and what is he going to do instead? He's going to lie. So why is lying any better than being labeled a Loiver Rosh of a Lo Yishalim? So the Rimagash has a very interesting approach to answering this question. The Rimagash approach to answering this question is that there are different types of Averis. And people, unfortunately, are more concerned about Averis that people in this world recognize versus Averis that people who are not in this world recognize. A person who lies feels, yes, I'm lying, but nobody knows I'm lying besides me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, but he doesn't think that anybody in this world knows. Whereas a person who doesn't pay what he owes, everybody knows he didn't pay what he owes. And therefore, that's why we're more concerned about doing something that people will think you did the wrong thing versus doing something that in Shemayim they know you did the wrong thing. Now, Chaim Shmulevitz has a different approach to answering this question. Now, Chaim Shmulevitz's approach to answering this question is if somebody borrows money, the case of our Gemara, and he doesn't pay, So what is he? He's a kofi toiv. He's a person that people did a favor for him. They lent him money, and now he's not going to pay back. People are very, very concerned about being a kofi toiv, about being a person who doesn't pay what he owes. And therefore, even though the other avera that he may do is the avera of lying, but that avera in his mind doesn't come with kofi toiv. An avera that comes with kofi toiv is something that is much more, that's an avera that people are much more sensitive than other types of averas. Says, ask the Gemara, Saif Saif Lagabi Idach, Nami Lavi Rosh Lashalom Hu. So what will happen, ask the Gemara? We're going to establish that the person whom he sold the property to is the true owner of the property, and then the person that he owes money to will collect from that property. And what will happen now? What's going to happen now is that the person that he owes, that the person whom he sold the property to lost that property. So why is that not a concern to him? Says to Gemara, the reason that's not such a concern to him, Damalei, because he says, Lahachi zvina loch shalei b'chrayis, I sold the property specifically with a understanding that if it's taken away from you, you will not have recourse to me. And as we often discuss in our shiurim, under those circumstances, typically the property is sold for less. Yes, the buyer is taking a risk. So he says, you knew when you bought this property that the possibility exists that it's going to be taken away and you won't get it back. And therefore, he's much less concerned about this person having any issues with him. Machras Rabba Vitem Rapapa, the Salkan Leila, those that go from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, or the Nachsan Lasata, those that go from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Hi by Yisrael, the Zavon Lechamer Yisrael Chavre. If somebody sold a donkey to another person, the Ka'osi of a Kachov of Honest Lemene, and an Akum comes and takes that animal away from him, with a claim that that animal belongs to him. Dinahu, the halacha is, the maftzalei minei, that the seller has to reimburse the buyer, the seller has to reimburse the buyer for the animal that he lost. And then, if he wants to take that akum to court for having taken away his animal, fine. But that the first thing he does is that he has to pay back this person who bought the donkey from him. The Tzais says that this thing that Rava just said is only in a situation where the Akum showed up after the sale was done. And therefore the buyer could say, I never knew that the Akum is going to come and claim that this animal belongs to him. However, says the Tzais, if the person who bought the property, the Jew who bought the donkey, knew that the Akum was claiming that this donkey belonged to him. So when he bought the donkey, he knew what he was getting into. Since when he bought the donkey, he knew what he was getting into, then the halacha is he doesn't have recourse back to a Jew. The Rishonim explain, why is there a difference in halacha if this happens when the donkey was sold to an Akum versus when the donkey was sold to a Yisrael? Say the Rishonim, that a Yisrael cannot have if the donkey was sold to Yisrael and Akum has a claim, we treat it differently than when a Yisrael has a claim. And they explain, because if Yisrael has a claim, the halacha gives us methods how to go to the Torah, and the Torah also, the halacha tells us how Besdin should resolve the Torah. They have to bring Edom, you have to have the different rayas that we discuss very often in our shiurim. By Akum, as we're going to see, all of those halachas don't apply, and therefore the halacha is different when it's the Akum who's making the claim versus when a Yisrael is making a claim. Says the Gemara, V'loy Amarin, This halacha was only said El Sheina Makabai Shia Ves Chamarai, that the when the person who bought it was not certain that this donkey belonged to the person who sold him the donkey. Avol Makabai Shibas Chamarai, if he knew that this donkey belonged to the person who sold it, he knew that's the fact. And now it's just a terrible situation where the Nochri has decided to start up with him. Loi, then the person who bought it, the person who bought it is going to have to deal with it, not the seller. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Loimara el Loi Onus L'Didei L'Ukfa. It's only in a situation where the Akum did not just take the animal, but the Akum took the animal without its saddle. So that's a proof, the Gemara says, that what the Nochri is saying may be true. Avl Onus L'Didei L'Ukfa. And as the Ritva explains, there really is no way that the Nochri could say, I know that this saddle that's on the donkey is also mine. So we see that this Nochri is just a person who's acting in a bad way. He's trying to take the donkey away from the person who owns it, the buyer. And therefore, the seller will not be responsible. Ameima mafilu leka kohani. Even where we don't have all the situations, loy, the seller does not have to worry about the buyer. It's not the seller's problem. My tamma, and the Gemara introduces now a concept, because may the yada, it's well known, the stam over kachavim anasu, that this is what the nochrim do. They force people to give up what they really belongs to them. Shenemar, as the Pasuk in Tehillim says about them, asher PMD b'shov v'yamin mem sheker, they're people that don't have a problem going after somebody after their property. The Rambam, when he brings down this halacha, that even if the Akum didn't seize the property himself, but he went to a court of Akum, who ruled in his favor, now the buyer will lose the donkey, the seller is still not obligated to replace it. The Rambam says that the ruling of a court of Nochrim does not convince us that the Akum's claim is true, because, says the Rambam, the standards of evidence, which according to Halacha are insufficient and inconclusive, work in a court of Nochrim, and therefore the court is not any stronger than the individual. As the Kesem Mishnah, we're going to learn a Mitzvah Shem on Daf Nun Beis, the Halacha of Dina de Machus Adina, which teaches us that we do follow, when it comes to monetary law, the court system, the law of the land. That's why the government does a lot of confiscate property. So why are we just branding, as the Kesem Mishnah, that even the non-Jewish court is treated like the Nochri, the individual? Answers the Sma, that only in a case where do we say Dina Machus Adina, where the Dina Machus Adina doesn't contradict Torah law. For example, if there's a law that you have to pay taxes, that isn't a contradiction to Torah law. And that's why Dina Machus Adina says that we have to pay taxes. However, we don't follow the rules of a court that don't have the same rules of evidence as a Beis Din. And there we don't say Dina Machus Adina. Dor Sameach says that even if we were to apply the concept of Dina de Machus Adina, even in a court, in such a civil case, still the seller only is obligated to pay the buyer if it could be 100% proven that this donkey that he bought from the seller was not the seller's. But however, says the Osameach, the evidence that the Nochri brought to his court is not evidence that's accepted in a Beis Din. So therefore, when the court says that the animal belongs to the Nochri, even though the buyer, because of Dina Machus Adina, has to give it to the Nochri, The seller didn't go through that type of a process. The court case, explains Dar Sameach, was a case that took place between the buyer and the Nachri. And yes, once the court says that the person who currently has the stanky has to give it up to the Nachri, he has to follow the court's decision because of Dina Machus Adina. But the court case was not between the seller and the Nachri. And therefore, there's nothing to obligate the seller to have to pay for it. The discussion here is, the Gemara says that we assume that the Nachri is an anus. We assume that he's being dishonest, and therefore the halacha is that we, even under all circumstances, we don't have to pay back. The Jew doesn't have to give it back to the buyer. The seller doesn't have to give it to the buyer. Says Moshe, that of course, if there was a condition set between the buyer and the seller, that if the court, that if the Nachri will take the animal from him, then he's going to have to pay back the Nachri. So then says the Bris Moshe, that he would have to, then we don't say anus. In other words, what Rav Moshe is saying is that it is halachically plausible that if a Yisrael and the Nachri made up, the buyer and the seller made up, that if it's taken away by a Nachri, he's going to have to pay him back. Then the halacha is that he would have to pay back. The question here only, explains Rav Moshe, and there are other Paiskim that say, is, well, we don't have such a stipulation in the contract between the seller and the buyer, and now the buyer had to give it up because there's an assumption to the Nachri. The assumption of Anus says that the assumption of Anus says that we don't have to recognize that this was really something that he had to do. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Umen Ein Lechazaka. Somebody who works with property works on the property, and he was on the property for 3 years, then he doesn't have, just because he was on the property for 3 years, he doesn't achieve a chazaka. And the reason is because we assume that he was on this property not because he bought the property, which is what the chazaka usually tells us. We say that he was on the property because he was given to him to work with. There is a debate in Rishonim, who is the Gemara speaking about, that the Uman doesn't have a chazaka. Certainly in a case of property, as we just explained, it doesn't have a chazaka. What would be the halacha of Metatlin? Is the same halacha by Metatlin? And most Rishonim say the same will be said by Metatlin. Amar Rava, Loi Shana El Kamashaloi Be'edim. When does an Uman not able to get a chazaka? When this was given to him in front of Edim. Avla Masaloi Shaloi Be'edim. If the person who owned this gave it to him not with Edim, B'tach Shiachaloi Maloi Hayu Dvar Ma'ilim, he always has a migui. He could say, you never gave it to me. So therefore, when he claims a kuchi biyodai mehemen, which as we just explained, that's considered a migui. Amalei Abaya. So says Abaya, from what you're saying, that if it was given to him in front of Edom, even though the Edom are not saying that this object is still with him, then he's not believed, even though the Edom did not see that the object is by the Uman, he can't claim that it belongs to him. But if it wasn't given to him in front of Edom, so as we just said, the Uman would have a migui, because he could say, I bought it, I didn't even buy it from you, it belonged to someone else. Ask the Gemara, Yachah, Philip Fnei Edom, so even if the object was given to the Uman in front of Edom, ask the Gemara Nami, Metachsh Yachah Loima, why can the Uman have a claim by saying, Hechzartelach, yes, I had it, I gave it back to you, and then I bought it from you. Kiyomale l'kuchi biyadi. So why shouldn't he be believed if the Edom can't know, if they don't know independently that he has it? Amma le rabba mi savrit mafka etzelche v'ev Edom ein tzarech lach be'edim. Don't believe that the halacha is that if you give me something, I don't have to give it in front of Edom. I don't have to give it back to you in front of Edom. Lo yisakadatach ela mafka v'fnei etzel chaveri be'edom. If you ask, if you give me something in front of Edom, tzachsel achsel be'edom. So the Uman trying to say, well, I gave it back to you in front of Edom. I gave it back to you. I get exactly loch, and now it's back by me. Well, where the Edom that you gave it back? Because Rav is saying now, if you got it in front of Edom, you have to give it back in front of Edom. Ask Abaya on Rava, how could you say that so is the halacha? Meisvei Abaya, Ra avde b'yad Uman, if somebody said, if somebody saw somebody's slave by an Uman, he gave a slave to the Uman to teach him a trade. Talisa b'yad kovis, or somebody's garment is by the laundry, v'amaloi mativoi etzlecha, why is this evid by you? Why is this garment by you? And the Uman responds, "Atem chatali, atem satali mematana. You sold this ever to me. You gave him to me as a gift. Le'ama klum, he's not believed, because as we're saying, he's saying that a Uman doesn't have a chazaka. But if he says to b'fnei amartaloi le'machrei v'litna li b'matana, if when he asks him why is this by you, you say that." You told b'fanei amartaloi l'machrei v'litna li b'matana. Then you said, "Give it to this person." Dvarav kayamim. So the Gemara tries to understand this brisa. Ma'isha na reisha, ma'isha na sefer. What is the difference between the reisha and the sefer? That in the reisha, the halacha is that the Uman is not believed, and the sefer was saying the Uman is believed. In both cases of this brisa, the same claim is being made. The only difference is that in the first case, the Uman is saying, you gave it to me, you sold it to me. And in the second case, he's saying that somebody else did it with your permission. Amar Rabba, to which Rabba responds, and the Rashbam says that we can't say it's Rabba, because Rabba is the one that the question is being asked to. And therefore the Rashbam says, the Gisha should be Rava, safe, it's not where we saw that the Eved is by the Uman, or that the garment is by the Uman. The Eved or the Beged were in the possession of somebody else, and the person comes to that individual and says, why are you holding this? The Kamalei, and he responds, the Kamalei Acher, and this other person says to him, Befane amartaloi l'machroi litnli b'matana. You told the Uman to give it to me, to sell it to me. So, migui debay amalei menach svente, because this third party could have said, I bought it directly from you. Kiamalei nami, so if he says, b'fani amatala, you said to the Uman, l'machroi, to sell it to me or to give it to me as a gift, devarv kayamim amahemen, then he's going to believe with that migui, where he could have said, I bought it directly from you. But what do we see from here? Tani Mias Reisha. What are the first part of this Reisha? So now we understand the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. But now it goes back to Gemara. Tani Mias Reisha. What did it say in the Reisha of this Braisa? Ra, if you see this object, this Eved, this garment by the Uman cannot say that it belongs to him. Has the Gemara Hechidami. What's the case? Idik Edom, if we Edom saw how I gave the Uman these objects, Lomali Ra, why do we have to see that the object is still by the Uman? Nase Edom and Nishko, why don't we just bring Edom that saw me give it to the Uman and I never got it back, and just therefore I'll have a claim to the Una. Elav, the Lav, the Leka Edom. There are no Edom, the Chira Mia, and yet we're seeing that if we see this object by the Uman, so it's not based on the Uman's admission that we know he still has the object. We know it, and independently, the halacha will be that the Uman will not be believed that he bought it. But what did Rava say? The Rava said that you have to have, that if you didn't have Adam C, the giving over of the object to the woman, you have to have Adam that saw this object by the woman. Here it seems you don't have to have that. Loi, says the Gemara, Loi lam de ikka Adam, that there were Adam that saw this object was given to the woman, Behuda Ra, and they also saw that it's by the woman. And because they saw that it was given to the woman, and it's by the woman, that's enough that the woman should not be able to have a claim. Asks Abaya, if you're saying that if the woman, if there are Adam that saw it being given to the woman, but there are no Adam that could say that we saw it by the woman, then the woman can always claim Hezakiloch, Vatu the Amrit Amafka it's a chaver be'edim, tzorach l'farah be'edim. So even if there are no Adam that saw it by the woman, the fact that they saw it given to the woman with Adam, and there are no Adam that could say, well, we saw that the woman gave it back to the person who gave it to him, that should be enough, that the woman should not be believed. So why is it necessary that we should have two things? We should have that Adam saw it being given to the woman, and we also saw that the woman has it. One should be sufficient. Answers the Gemara. Amalei, Rabbi said, Chadri Bey, I retracted, and I agree that the halacha is that once it was given, even though it was given in front of Adam, it need not be returned in front of Adam. Says the Gemara, Masav Rava L'Siyu L'Rava. Rava now asks a question on Abaya, that according to Abaya, if you saw by the Uman, it's not enough. You have to also have had Adam that saw it given to the Uman. Hanoisin Talis L'Uman, the Brisa teaches us, somebody gives a talis to Uman. Uman Oimer Shtayim. The Uman says, you owe me $2 for the work that I did. Shtayim kutsatzli. You promised to pay me $2. The halah, and the owner of the garment says, loy kutsatzli ela achaz. I only promised to pay you $1. So the halacha is, kozman shatals biyar uman, as long as the uman has this talis in his possession, al baal bayis lavi raya, he has to bring edim that he only owes $1. And otherwise, if the owner of the garment cannot produce those kind of Adam, then he doesn't have to bring, either he has to bring Adam to that effect, or he could claim that he owe me $2. Because the Uman is believed, because he has a migui. He could have always said, I bought it from you. So now when I'm being honest and saying I don't own it, and he bought it and he's holding it, and it's at Metatlin that Chazok is achieved immediately. So if the Baal Beged, if the owner of the Beged wants to get it, he's the Moitz Mechaveroi, and if he can't bring a Rai, he's going to have to pay. But let's say Nosnoloi, but let's say the Uman gave it back to the person. Nosnoloi. So if Bezmanoi, that if it's at the time that he's supposed to pay him and give him back his garment and get paid, Nishba, the Numan swears and gets what he claims he deserves. Because once the Baal Beged is moida that he has to pay, there's no argument, I have to pay you for the work that you did. There's only a claim that I hold I have to give you $1 and you're claiming $2. That's called a moida b'mitzvah. And as we know, the Torah says that a moida b'mitzvah is chayiv shvuah. But there's a special halacha that if on the day of payment, the day payment is due, there's a moed b'mitzvah. So normally, throughout halacha, the halacha says that the person makes a shvua and he won't have to pay. Here, if it's on the day that the payment is due, because there's a concern that he's busy, he's confused, we reverse the shvua and the uman will swear and get what he claims he deserves. But if it's avos manoi, if already the time passed and now he's anxious to pay because he doesn't want to be over the aveira of not paying in a timely fashion. So the uman is the one that's claiming from the owner of the beggar, you owe me money. And therefore, it'll be considered a mitz mechaveir olav araya. And unless the woman could prove that he indeed deserves the $2, he won't be able to get it. But now, Rava drills down. Hey, Chidami, what is the case of the Braisa? Idik Edim, if there are Edim that were there when he gave him the garment to work with, and they heard how much they agreed would be the charge. So, Lachsi Edim, my Kamri, let's just ask the Edim what was said, and that will make the Din Torah end very quickly. El Lav, says the Gemara, the Leka Edim, there were no Edim. Viktani, and we're still learning that if it's still in the hands of the Uman, Uman is Mehemen. Because why? As we said, what gives the Uman the upper hand when he's still holding the garment? Because he has a migui. The migui bayam lekuchi biyadi, he could always said, I this garment is mine. And therefore, Mehemen Namia Agre, that from here we see that as long as there are no edim on the giving of the beged to the Uman, then the Uman is believed. Not like Abaye said. Abaye said, as long as there are Edim that see the garment by the Uman, that's enough to put the Uman in a weak position. Says Loilam the Lek Edim. Says the Gemara, the quest here is that there were no Edim on giving the. So isn't this proof that the Rab is right? You have to have Edim both on the Mesira, on the giving of the garment, and of the having the Edim, and having the garment? Says Mar Deloilam Lek Edim. And says that's why he's Megui. Who the Ra? But they didn't. There are no Edim who see it now. Everybody agrees that in order for the Uman not to be believed, it has to be a circumstance where the Uman, where people we know independently that the Uman has this garment. And says the Gemara, we're speaking here about a situation where the Uman doesn't have the garment. And since the Uman doesn't have the garment, that's why once the Uman doesn't have the garment, that's why the halacha will be, we don't know that independently from Edim, that's why the Uman has, says the Braisa, has the upper hand.